You may like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we open thy word, thy love letter. We're in thy presence. Spirit of God, help us that we would have the benefits of your day, your time, your place, your glory and your honor. Thank you very much. So we're looking to you to help us, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have proceeded to the movement where there's only a few hours before his death in the upper room. Now, in order to capitalize on that, God, if you'd go with me, please, over to John chapter, before we do that. John chapter 6. Come at it a different way. John chapter 6. And in the light of that, you'd recall that the disciples, they had 3 1/3 years of intimate and very close relationship to God in Christ. They didn't realize it, but they had it. And for assuming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they were in his presence and enjoyed his thoughts, his words, his truth, his protection, his watch care, his provision. Now, so therefore, when he was tested, remember, in chapter 6, and you would recall, if I can, in chapter 6, verse 63, when Jesus, that is the Spirit, 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So God is there, is helping them understand. The wonder, this is for all the people that were there, that God, in his wonderful grace, is giving them living words, and if they would just hear the words, they would benefit. But if they don't hear the words, then it profits them nothing. If you don't take the seed and put it in the ground, the seed stays in a package and never goes anywhere. So God, you're trying to tell him to exercise a relationship. Therefore, you're sliding down. But there were some, verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Now, so in the process of all of that interaction, marvelous event in chapter 6, etc., feeding of the 5,000, all of that. Now, verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They didn't want to go any further. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? Sliding back to verse 66, they didn't going to hear it anymore. God said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my body, drink of my blood, unless you have a unique relationship to me, it isn't going to go anywhere. God is the creator. You need to have a unique relationship to who I am. They didn't want that. Now, therefore, Therefore we came to verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Wants to know what they're going to do. Simon Peter, the spokesman, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, they had no question, and then, verse 70, Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you twelve, and one of you is a devil or a demon, Judas. I chose him. So God, and they followed him as we shared last time together. They followed him wonderfully in the thick and thin of it, and they followed him. And therefore, they had a relationship. They weren't exercising it in its fullness at all, but they had a unique relationship. That's the issue. That's the point. They had that. They were exposed. And therefore, they of all the people coming and going, the ones that left, the ones that come and go, they didn't have it. Who had it? Just the 11 in this case, who are with him. And they were in a relationship. Even if it wasn't solid, it was there. Therefore, chapter 10. And you would recall in verse 27, our Lord is the shepherd, the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John chapter 10, picking up if I can, therefore in verse 26, but ye believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, but, like Judas, my sheep, verse 27, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They're following me. That's what they're doing. Day in and day out, week in and week out, where are the 11? They're there. Wherever he is, they are. That's where they are, unless they're sent on assignment. And here, therefore, they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. They had a unique relationship to God, and they had an understanding that in some awesome way, they had God, a relationship to God, a life, a wonderful, wonderful life. I give unto them eternal life, that they already had it. The relationship was going to work itself out. It wasn't going to be maybe, it was going to work out. Now, hang on to that. Now, over if you would please, with that in mind, over to this relationship that God is, they had it, but they didn't have it, and they can't have it until he's crucified and risen, but they were to enjoy the relationship they did have in recognizing his wonderful person to the point that they could. They understood him so much, but not enough. He's the Messiah, etc. But God, that was a little hard for them. Now, over to chapter 15. John chapter 15, and picking up, if I may, verse 3, we shared together. Now you are clean, how so? By way of the word which I have spoken unto you. Now how were they clean? By way of the word of God. They were hearing the word, listening to the word. God said, the Lord Jesus said to the fishermen, follow me, and they did. The Lord Jesus said, do this, and they did it. They did whatever. They followed whatever. And they were there. And that's what they had, a relationship that they could exercise. They didn't have to go and call someone on the phone, to call heaven. They didn't have to go to some other city. They were there. He was there. All they had to do is talk and ask at any time. He was right there. Even though it wasn't like this yet, it was there. And they had it. It wasn't a question, God, we're hungry. All they had to do is say it if they needed to. And he would do it. He was right there. You couldn't get closer. They have the benefits, but they don't have them. You're clean. Abel, my word, keeps the relationship. So because you're clean, because you're this relationship, have this relationship to me, you're therefore, I'm going to tell you how, what's going to have to be done, that chapter 15, etc. Now, and remember now what has to be done. What is God looking for? What are they to be looking for? Chapter 14. And in chapter 14, may I pick up, please, in verse 7. If you had known me, if you had known me, you should have known my father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. He's standing in front. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I and the Father are one. We just read in John chapter 10. And if you have seen me, said the Lord, you have seen the Father. Therefore, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice that we'll be satisfied. Therefore, they didn't get it, but God says it again. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto them, him, Have I been so long time with you, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Here I am. I'm right in front of you. Now you should know that. And, verse 23, Verse 21, he that hath my commandments, my word, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to make it very, very wonderful. We're going to have a very intimate relationship that you have never, that you could never dream of. You've been listening to me, talking to me, I could comfort you, whatever, you could hold my hand if that was helpful, but that's going to be nothing compared to what's going to be. Therefore, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place in him, our dwelling place in him. That's what we're going to do. So, God, what are you saying? Well, this relationship is going to be awesome, and my Father and I are going to make our home in you, a dwelling place. That's not now, but that's they're told that in promise. Verse 20, chapter 14, verse 20, you know. Then in chapter 14 and verse 20, and at that day, said the Lord, you shall not yet, at the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, at that day you shall know what? That I am in my Father. I told you that. And you in me, and I in you. Now, you guys have no idea what kind of relationship that is. I read about it, I can talk to you, I can pray. You're going to have another one you couldn't dream of. I'm going to do something wonderful to make it so that you can, back up to verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You're going to do greater works than I do. You're going to do more than I do in the sense of expressing. I'm going to express my wonderful self, said the Lord Jesus, everywhere, in you. Now, it isn't our works, it's his. Now, so God, you're going to do that. Now, how's it going to be? All of that, as we shared, is impossible. And they're going to go out and die in prison or something else. No, God said, now, so they're all, remember we said the end of chapter 14? They all rise up, At least it's, they're going to do that. One of them, the Lord, either arose. He said, it's time. And they all command, rise up. And they're going to go out the door to the cross, to the crucifixion, etc. So the whole event has been intensified. We're all going to go to war, and we go out the door, and there's the war. It was one thing to sit in the room without the war. It's another thing to go outside the door where the bullets are flying. And they're going to go out the door. So the intensity's way up here, and the Lord then says, John chapter 15. Remember now, and we did this. Now, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He's the owner, the cultivator. It's his farm, it's his vine. And every branch of me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. We shared all that it may bring forth more fruit, more fruit. So the whole relationship, God, you're looking for, is the reality of what we just looked at in John chapter 14. It was all building to this to make it all happen in a most awesome, awesome way. Now, and you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, having said all that and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, here we are looking, and in chapter 15, verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, and because you are clean, because you have this existent relationship. Right now, here he's standing in front of them. You have this existent reality. And you're going to have it in the light of all that I've been talking to, chapter 14. All the wonderful things that I and you, and you and me, and the Father and I, my Father and I, we're one, are going to be in you. All of that's going to be real. Because you're clean. Now, because you have this relation, you're not going to run away. Who else can we go to? Lord, who else is Lord? Who else is Creator? Where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go. There's no one to go to. Think about it. You got your history books. You got your encyclopedias. You got her in. Go through history. Turn the pages. Attila the Hun? No. Where you want to go? Find a person. You won't find a person. Come on. If you spend time. And you're real serious. Go to Tibet and meet a jolly lama. No. 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 There is no other person. So when he said there's nowhere to go, there's nowhere to go. No, there's nowhere to go. And therefore, God, what are you trying to tell him? And they knew this. They're going to go and die if they need to. It's ended. But it isn't ended. Chapter 15, verse 4. Because you are clean, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You need to understand what's going to happen. You have to abide in me. And then we shared all of that a little bit with the vine, the big temple there, second temple and all of that, with a big bunch of golden grapes hanging over as you look. Here you're looking at it, and there's the grapes, big grapes on a vine in gold. Looking at you. Because Israel was God's vine. They just didn't produce anything. They didn't look to God. They could have, but they didn't. Now, so therefore, looking at all that and keeping that in mind, this unique, unique oneness that God the Father has with this God the Father, in God the Son, in God the Holy Spirit, they have a unique oneness and fellowship. And that oneness and fellowship is the outworking, the giving expression of the uncaused life of God. The uncaused life of God. The absolute absolute and unconditional. Absolute means nothing, all by itself, all alone, absolute. The absolute, unconditioned existence of God. He has no beginning, and he has no end, and he was never created. He just is. You must believe that I am. Moses, I am that I am. I'm just God. I was never created. You're created. I'm not created. Wow. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, that's a wonderful thing. Now, and you're going to go, and verse four and verse five, you're going to talk, we're talking about an abiding. You're the Father. Father owns the vine. God the Father. God the Son. In God, the Son of Man is the vine, and you are the branches. And the wonderful thing that's going to happen to you, 11, and all the rest, is going to be you're going to have a unique relationship to me, I and you and me, and it's going to be awesome. Awesome, 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 awesome. Now, having said that little bit, and over to John chapter 5, and in John chapter 5, picking up, you recall it now, just what the others outside the room, the Jews, the Pharisees, and all of them, they just aren't believing. They aren't even listening. John chapter 5, verse 38. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. You don't believe. You don't believe. And if they believed, they would have. But they aren't in the upper room. They aren't even interested in it. They're going to be at the cross, as it were, to Pilate, crucify him. That's what they're going to do. John chapter 8, where you're here, just locking in the fact that the disciples have a real advantage because they've been with him and they aren't going anywhere else at all. John chapter 8, picking up, if I can, verse 30, John 8 and verse 30. And he spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue, if you do, and you may, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Remember, we just shared it. I'm trying to lock it in. Why they're clean, and why he's telling them that all they have to do is take hold of what God is giving them. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So they're going to have an awesome relationship, the reality of which requires Christ's death on the cross. Now, in that wonderful thing, and their relationship is very unique. And if I can, I'm coming. Try to illustrate it for you. I think it needs to be illustrated. Okay. Now, the word abide has to do with what? To remain. You are presently abiding in the seat. That's the word. To dwell. You're presently abiding in the seat. That's what you're doing. To dwell. The word dwell. To be dwell. Abiding, dwelling, staying, remaining, waiting, expecting. Abiding, waiting. You're sitting there. It stays in place. Everything stays in place. Now, and we read in verse, you don't have to turn there, chapter 15. You can, chapter 15. And in chapter 15, and in verse 4 and 5, Abiding, dwelling, a dwelling, remaining, staying, put, resting down, not going anywhere, just going to abide. Now, I have, best I could find, Here is a hose or a pipe, ceramic, whatever you want. Here it is. Now, if I go and take this hose, and I go and connect this hose to the water faucet. Here it is. And in the process, the water is going to flow through it, right? I'm going to connect this hose to the milk truck. And the milk truck, big tanker with a milk truck. And when I put the hose to the milk truck, and the milk's going to go through it, true? If I put this to your gas pump, to the gasoline, the gas is going to go through it. Everything passes through it, assuming not the rubber, but ceramic in that. And it never attaches. This is a channel. And this channel can be used or plugged in all over the place. And as it's plugged in, it flows. But nothing's attached to this. The water's replaced with the milk is replaced with something else. It never, just a channel. Is that what it talks about? No, not at all. Now, you have to use your imagination that this is attached. And it still has some of the sap in it, the vital, life-giving sap, juice. And it's this. So here it is. And as long as this abides in the plant, it is there. Now, what does it? All it is abiding, and the leaves evidence, and the plant stem, like this. This isn't like this, because this is housing the living sap of the plant. True? It isn't an oak tree. It isn't a tomato plant. It has one kind of sap for one kind of leaves. It can never have more than that. Just that. It can never have anything else and have this. It has to be attached to the vine, the plant that produces this. And that's important. And if it doesn't do that, I don't want to emphasize this, but that's the point. If it doesn't do that, it becomes this. That's what it becomes. It could have been this. It got disconnected. It's nothing. And I could go and plug this plant into the maple tree out in front. What do you think is going to happen to the plant? Is it going to become maple sugar? Maple syrup? No, it can't become. It isn't, it can't, it's a different thing. So God, what have you done? I have gone, God said, my father is the husbandman. The vine is the Son of God. And when? I'm trying to tell you, here's the 11. I'm trying to tell you the awesome privilege you have because you have a relationship to make happen. You're clean. I want you to abide. Be attached to me. There's no way on earth, and only me. Because there's no way. If you attach yourself to religion, to doctrine, to from a strictly straight out, you can attach yourself to anything. What are you talking about? You cannot have what I'm going to do with you unless you're attached to me. The same as the plant has to have. You are a branch. And there's only one kind of life that's going to come in you, and that's mine. Do you understand? There is no other life. There is no oak tree. There is no tomato plant. There isn't any. It's all me, said God. Without me, you got nothing. I'm the plant. I make the life. It's my life in you. Not like this. This enjoys the plant life. Here's this stem. And in this stem, if it was connected still, in the stem is the plant. The plant sap, the fluid, the juice, living juice that makes the leaves, that makes whatever out here. Wow! That's what you're doing. Yes, right. This can't experience it. This can. You can experience me in you. That's what he's trying to tell them. I'm in you, you in me. Do you understand? I'm flowing. You are going to enjoy my wonderful life as it goes through, and it's going to produce fruit. That's what it's going to do. My life is going to produce my fruit. That's what's going to happen. It's an awesome thing. When we say abide, we aren't talking about, oh, I'm going to abide in what? No, you have a unique relationship to my Father by way of me. My Father has a unique relationship to you by way of our Lord as a branch, as a believer. And it's going to do an awesome, awesome thing. Do you think most believers understand that? That's what abide means. There is no other. There's only one way. You must abide in me. My life has to be in you. And you share it. The tube, the other tube doesn't share anything. But you are alive. You are a branch. And you share an awesome experience with me. Now, having said that, if you would, to see it. If you don't see it, abide isn't going to mean a hill of beans to you. Doesn't mean anything. Abide in me, and you'll bear much fruit. You know, when you bring the message, you'll be fruitful. No, when you're just breathing, you're going to be fruitful. This branch, by the way, if it's attached, does it care about the winter? Does it care about the bugs? Does it care about anything? It just stays abiding. God, you mean to tell me that's all I do? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Have a unique relationship to me. He that hath the Son hath. He that hath not the Son hath no life. I'm trying to tell you. It's rather simple. Seriously, awesomely, soberly, simple. Simple. Okay. Now, in order to do that a little bit, and what can I tell you? Now, over if you would please, First John. John continues his wonderful thinking. Thoughts that God has him do. The Gospel of John. Excuse me, the first epistle of John. I didn't mean to say gospel. The first epistle of John and chapter 2. First John chapter 2. May I go directly to verse 24. Let that, therefore, here's our word, abide. Let that, therefore, abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain, abide in you, ye also shall continue to abide, to remain. You also shall continue in the Son, and in the Father. If you abide, where are you abiding? In the vine. The vine is the Son. The vine is connected to the Father, God. If you continue to abide, what are you doing? You're abiding in the Father and the Son. John 14, 23, my Father and I will manifest ourselves to you. You're going to enjoy your heart, our home. That's what I'm going to do. That's what it's about. I want to abide. I want to be at home in your house, in here. That's what I want to be at home. Wow. Now, and having said that, so keeping that in mind, and abide, and remember now John chapter 1. That which we have heard from the beginning, which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So, boy, did we have it all. We said, John, we sure did. When he was here before his crucifixion. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. We watched him. He was alive and well. He was God in the flesh. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. I and my Father are one. And that was very clear. Absolutely. Now, what are you saying that for, John? Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. What for? In order that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a unique relationship to the Father and Son. Back over to chapter 2 and verse 24. The end, verse 24. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. It's a unique relationship to the person of God. That's what it is. A person. Wow. That's why we shared it in Sunday school a little bit. That's why God, he said, listen, you guys are all upset. You can't handle God. And that's why you can't handle our Lord. Because you're trying to see God and you can't see God. How can anyone see God apart from me? Said the Lord. I make God real for you. God's infinite. How can we couldn't even see a galaxy, a trillion galaxies. look at the sky, trillions of miles. We couldn't even touch it. And you want to see God? That's just a little spot in the middle of God. And you want to see him. He said, oh, have you got to be educated about me? Said God. Now, no, I don't want to lose it. Think of the angels that know this. And why? Glory and honor and praise, etc., etc. That's when does heaven get boring? When does anything get boring there? I'll try to tell you. So about John, here we are. Looking now, having said that, keeping that in mind, to abide, over if I can. And three times it's mentioned it. Oh, chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Why is that? But it's the same anointing, unction, remember we shared all that together, teacheth you all things, and it's true, and it's no lie. Well, how can we have all that? How can we know all that? How can all of that be true? Because even as it hath taught you, how are we going to experience being able to do anything, having everything, whatever? How can that be? The end of verse 27. You shall abide in him. Now, what do you want me to do? Believe, abide, rest in him. That's what I want. What do I want? No, I want you to rest. Abide. Without me, you can do nothing. That's why I'm telling you to abide. But. No, you'll never get along with God that way. You know. So God, what do you, God, I got to abide. That's right. That's what I told you. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm the sap. I'm the life. You want the life. I'm not the life. He's the life. All we are is the channel. And we're such a channel created in His image and likeness that we can experience the life in order for what? For the fruit. And the fruit is what? God's wonderful person. Love, joy, peace, it's you, God. So the expression out here is from the expression of the leaves, etc., is telling the plant. It's from the plant. The branch doesn't, all the branch does is allow that life to produce the fruit, the leaves. And all you're doing is enjoying a wonderful life to bear fruit. What do you mean? To let God be God, simply. Is that hard? To let God be God in your life. That's what it's about. He's the creator. He's the boss. Like Sunday school, He's the Lord. And you got it. Wow. Now, having said, and the plants are getting, my Bible is going to be mocked by plants. Now, if you would, over in the Gospel of John, in chapter 2, 1 John, where you're right here, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But we have, you have an unction, an anointing, remember verse 24 and verse 27, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know, Spirit of God, that's what is your ministry, God? Your ministry is what? Galatians 5:22, to produce fruit, to produce life. He's the Spirit of truth, John 14, and He is going to do what? He's going to produce what in the branch? He's going to produce in you the life of God. You aren't going to produce it, and I'm not going to produce it. He's going to produce it. And that's what He does. So I don't have to sit there and figure out how to get it. You done got it. Now exercise it. If you received Him as your Savior, exercise it. Exercise what? The relationship, the reality. He's Lord. Wow. Now, so Spirit, and look over, back over, verse 28. And now, little children, what are we going to do? Well, we're waiting. Abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So what are we doing? God, we're waiting, abiding. What are the Thessalonians doing? 1 Thessalonians 1:10. They're waiting, busy, waiting for the Son from God to step out of heaven and take them up. That's what they're doing. They're waiting. They're doing their work in school and home and everything, and brushing their teeth and washing their clothes and doing whatever they do. But they're waiting. That's what they're doing. What are we doing? What are we supposed to do? Abide. Well, what else? Abide. What else? Abide. I told you, abide. How long? Till I take you. Till I take you. Abide. Well, there must be something else to make my Christian life successful. No. It's successful when you allow me to flow in your life. That's when it's successful. Because then it's going to show fruit. And the fruit isn't going to be about you. It's about me. That you're saved. That you're truly, truly saved by a wonderful Savior and Lord, and you're enjoying it, being saved. But understanding being saved, I'm saved. No, not a hope so. No, it's a no so. Why? Because His life, where is the life? You got it. It's here. Where is it? In Christ. He's the vine. Who owns the vine? The Father does. Who takes care of the vine? The Father does. The Father is in the Son. The Son's in the Father. And the branch is in the Son, in the Father. And the branch just enjoys a relationship. That's how you do in your body. When you were born physically, you were born and you stepped out of your mother's womb and the cord was cut and the life cord was cut and you started to live in your own life. Not hers. And you lived in your own life. And when you did, then you started experiencing what? The outworking of crying and diapers and everything, and you outwork it. And you grow up, and here you are. Here you are. You grew up. What are you experiencing? All you did is experiencing your heartbeat, you're breathing in air, and you allowed yourself to grow, to grow, to grow, and you did. And you grow, and you do, and then you're experiencing physical life. That's what you do with God, spiritual life. I'm saved. You know you're saved. Exercise it. Exercise, He's Lord. What a wonderful God. And I just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That isn't anything about us. It's all about Him. Now, and having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God, you have to do it all. There's no question, we have to abide and abide and abide and abide. And 1 John chapter 4. That's what 1 John's about, having, enjoying a relationship to God. Not a intellectual one, though it involves that. No, it's a wonderful relationship. Just there. That's what you're supposed to see. When you look at Christians, you're not supposed to see this. Here I am, and we're all going to sing Hallelujah to Christ the Lamb. Ready? I say, Hallelujah to Christ the Lamb. See? And they're eloquent. It's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Wow. And wow. And here's just little old us. And we say, we can't say it like the eloquent man. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's all we say. And we sing, Hallelujah to the Lamb, etc. That's what we do. But you know what? There's a difference. And the world may not know it because this is, wow. Think of the funeral and the choir, Air Force choir and all that. Wow. But here's this. Here's this here. And you know what? This is where life is. Do you think people would know the difference? Ah, if they're seeking, they'll know the difference between this. This, we turn off the television, turn off the radio, walk out the door, it's all over. But this was something else. There was something with those, when they sang, something about what they did. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, would you allow me to go? John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us. How so? Because He hath given us of His what, dear friends? It's the Spirit. You just read it. You have an unction so that you are able to be anointing. You enjoy being anointing for the abiding. You're abiding, and the Spirit of God makes it real. He makes it real. You don't make it real. He does. And it is real. Is it real to God? Absolutely. It isn't real to me. It is real to God. Doesn't make any difference. Now, therefore, in verse 13, He hath given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And so you go on, and wonderful, wonderful. Now, having said that, I hope you're getting a little bit about abiding. Why He said it so awesomely positioned. You can't go anywhere. In their upper room, you can't go anywhere. I'm going to go out and be crucified. And you guys, which they never mentioned a word, no argument, no questions, I'm going to tell you straightway, if you don't abide, and you're free to abide, you're free, you have my word, you have in your mind, do it. Connect yourself to who I am, and it will work. Wow. It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design. But I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is known to such as I, is not known to such as I. The flower God opens so sweetly in my hands would fade and die. If I cannot unfold the rosebud, his flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust him for his leading each moment of every day, and I'll look to him for his guidance each step of the pilgrim way. For the pathway that lies before me, my heavenly Father knows. I'll trust him to unfold the moments just as he unfolds the rose. That's it. I want you to abide. Abide. And you'll get just where I want you to be. And you'll have happen in your life all that I have in mind. Abide. Our Father and God, we thank you for thy word and work. Spirit of God, thank you very, very much. So deal with us. Here we are, just us. God, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.